The Old Testament reading is from 1 Samuel. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. He arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." The epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians. "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord, and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is written, 'The two will become one flesh.' But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexual immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, 'I saw you under the fig tree,' do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
Well, good morning and welcome to All Saints. For those of you who are new or don't know me, I am not Tim Frickenschmidt. Tim and I were texting last night beginning about 6 p.m., and I got the final text at 7 saying that he was down and out for the count with the flu. So we can all be thankful that Tim is not here this morning. Tim asked me to prepare a 5 to 7 minute devotional, but that's not going to happen. So let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you are with us this morning and that your life and your love is present to us. We do pray that you'd be with Tim to heal him and his body and be with us, that you'd give us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to understand, and wills to obey, that we might see Jesus, and like Samuel and like Nathaniel, that we might respond to your call in our lives. For Christ's sake we pray, amen. The biblical God is the God who calls. Throughout the Bible, the very beginning, the middle pages, and even at the end, God calls. He calls creation into existence. He calls Adam and Eve into being. He calls people like Abraham, Moses, over and over and over again. God calls his creatures, and they respond to him. Friends, in many ways, that's what it means to be a human. That's what it means to be a Christian, to respond to the call of God in your life, to hear God's voice, to recognize it, to pay attention to it, and then to respond to it in faith. And we're to respond to God's callings in our lives because God's the one who knows us. God's the one who loves us. He's the one who has created us, and he's the one who is redeeming us. And sometimes God's call to us comes in the strangest and most terrifying ways, through the news of cancer, through divorce, through abuse, through addiction. It's at these times that we must learn to hear God's voice when we face devastation like this, to listen to God and to respond to him in faith. And sometimes God calls us in the most exhilarating ways, through marriage, through the birth of a child, through success in our career, through an amazing experience. And when we're faced with delight like this, we're to hear God's voice and respond to him in faith. The more human we become, the more we learn how to listen to the voice of our Creator. The more Christian we become, the more we learn to listen to the voice of our Redeemer. And friends, that's why we begin worship each and every week with a call to worship. It's God who speaks. It's God who summons. It's God who calls us into his presence so that we're reminded over and over and over again that our lives are to hear his voice and we're to respond in faith, in hope, in love. But we live in a world where we're tempted to listen to many other calls, to respond to all the other calls that we hear in life, calls of our image, especially our body image, calls of achievement, calls about our race, calls about our status, calls about our success. We're tempted to listen to these voices, to heed these calls, and we need to be reminded of the gentle, gracious, and loving call of our God. We need to become more and more aware of all the ways in which God is calling us to respond to him, to tune our ears to the one life-giving voice in our lives. St. Augustine wrote in his Confessions a very long time ago, as he was traveling and journeying in life, as he was coming to the city of Carthage, he says, "To Carthage I came, where the saying all around me in my ears, a cauldron of unholy loves." Many people calling him, many things calling him, and he had to learn how to hear and to respond to the one who was calling him above all these other voices, calling him to have holy love, to have holy risk, to have a holy life found in him. And friends, this is true for you and me as well, because Carthage was a very similar place to a city like Austin. It was known for its standing, for its success in education, in the arts, in business, in politics. It was a place where one could easily be distracted from hearing the call of God. And so we need to be reminded this morning to train our ears to listen to the voice of our Creator and our Redeemer. And it doesn't matter if you've been in a place like this 1,000 times before in your life. You need to hear God's call upon you this morning. Or maybe today is the very first time that you've entered into a place like this. You need to hear God's call to you this morning. You need to hear Him, to heed Him, to respond to Him, to not harden your hearts to Him, because today is a day where He is calling us to faith and repentance. In the text that we read this morning, we hear God calling Samuel, and we hear God calling Nathanael. And we want to look at three aspects to their call. We'll explore God's call and weakness, God's call and wonder, and then God's call and work. First, let's look at God's call and weakness. We see it in our text. We see it in the Old Testament lesson as God calls Samuel and calls Eli, or Samuel through Eli, in their weakness. Samuel's just a boy. Eli's an old man. Neither are strong. As a boy, Samuel's in no position to fight, to go to war, to lead an army, to lead other people. As an old man, Eli's in no position to fight, to go to war, to lead armies, to lead other people. Eli can barely even see. As a boy, Samuel's confused. He thinks that Eli is the one calling him. He thinks that Eli is summoning him. He thinks that Eli is asking him to do something. He hasn't yet trained his ears to hear the voice of God. He doesn't yet know how to respond to God's call in his life. And as an old man, Eli's confused as well. He doesn't know that God is calling Samuel. He doesn't know that God is giving his role to Samuel and not to his sons. He doesn't know yet how weak his house is, that it's falling apart and it's about to topple over. As a boy, Samuel's afraid to tell Eli that God's calling him. He's fearful to relay what God has told him. He's fearful about how Eli might respond. He's scared to inform him of his new call, of what God has just summoned him to. And as an old man, Eli doesn't reject God's word. He knows Samuel is speaking the truth. He knows that God is wise and just and good. Friends, Samuel's call is soaked in weakness. Samuel must grow, must mature into what God has called him to be and do as his prophet and as his servant. And he must not ignore these words of God. He must not let these words fall to the ground, our text says, to have them become trampled, worthless, ignored, rejected. He must carefully heed these words and tend to these words and grow into these words. As a boy, Samuel must mature to become the mighty man that God has called him to be. And friends, the good but terrifying news is that God calls us, just like Samuel, in our weakness. In fact, He only calls us in our weakness. God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. God doesn't call the mighty. He doesn't call the arrogant. He doesn't call the self-sufficient. He doesn't call the healthy. Instead, He calls the humble, the weak, the needy, the meek, the sick. He calls little children. And He calls us to become like little children over and over and over again. He calls us in our weakness. And this is an upside down and a backward way to call people. With Samuel, God had to wait years and years and years for him to be able to fulfill what he had called him to that morning. His call was inefficient. God had to have patience. Samuel had to grow. Samuel had to learn how to speak. He had to learn how to lead. He had to learn how to give counsel. He had to learn how to encourage. Samuel couldn't do what God had asked him to do when he originally called him. He had to grow. He had to mature. And friends, that's good news for us. God's call doesn't come to self-sufficient adults, but to needy children. God's call doesn't come to strong, mature people, but to young, growing people. So if you know your weakness, if you know your frailty, No matter how old you are, if you know your need, you're in a position just like Samuel to grow, to mature, to hear God's call, to listen to him, to heed his voice. And just like Samuel, we all need to have a posture that's ready to listen. In our text from John, we see the calling of Nathanael, and we see his weakness, especially in his doubting, his questioning, his wondering. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? It's not so much a question of what could be, a question of possibility, but a statement of what is not. Nathanael doubts that anything shocking, anything amazing, anything wonderful, anything miraculous, anything mysterious would come from a place like Nazareth. And Nathanael's doubts help us to see that God doesn't call the confident and the convinced, but the questioning and the cautious. And this is good news. Like Nathanael, in our weakness, we can bring our doubts, our questions, our concerns to God because he's big enough to handle them. He calls us through our questions. And like Nathanael, when you question God, be ready to hear his answers, because he answers in the most incredible ways. Because what God is calling you to, our second point, is a life of wonder, a life of amazement, a life of awe. It's an adventure. Samuel matured from a young boy into a prophet. And along the way, as Samuel heeded God's call, he got to do some pretty wonderful things, anointing kings, counseling rulers, correcting princes, encouraging sovereigns. He became part of a kingdom. He became a servant to the true king and the true sovereign of the world, and he became a participant in the most amazing story of the world, the story of how God's presence and God's life and God's love and God's victory was coming to the nation of Israel. He was called to wonder. He was called to wonder at what God was going to do in the world through people like David. And remember when God called David? He called him as a boy as well. He called him in his weakness. He passed by all of his strong and mighty brothers and said, no, this is the one, this weak one that I'm going to work through. Nathanael matured as well. He matured from a doubter into a disciple. Along the way, Nathanael got to experience some pretty amazing things, to see possibly Jesus turn water into wine, to feed the hungry, to protect the innocent, to give sight to the blind, to teach with authority, to even raise the dead. He became a participant in the most amazing story in the world, the story of how God's presence, life, and love, and kingdom was coming to the world through Jesus. He was called to wonder. He was called to respond to the amazing grace of God in Christ. And respond, Nathanael did. When Philip answered his questions by saying, just come and see, come and experience, come and find him, Nathanael didn't stay put. He moved toward Jesus. He drew near to Jesus. He drew near to the one who was going to change his life forever. Friends, like Samuel, like Nathanael, we're to become participants in the most radical, most wonderful, most amazing story in the world, the story of Jesus and his Spirit and his people. It's more amazing than the development and the news of any medical or technological development. It's more amazing than the hope of any potential political leader. It's more amazing than the rise of any market or currency, real or cryptic. It's a story full of joy, wonder, beauty, suffering, loss, surprise. It's the only story worth listening to. It's the only story worth building your life upon. It's the story of God's amazing love for us and how he sent his Son into the world to live for us, to die for us, and to rise again for us. It's this story that captured Nathanael's heart. It's this story that caused Nathanael, even at the beginning of this journey, to proclaim that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the King that's to be followed. And so, friends, like Nathanael, follow him, move toward him, serve him, love him, pursue him. Each and every week, we open up our service with these words: Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we respond by saying, and blessed be his kingdom now and forever. And our response is an embodiment of what Nathaniel confesses, that we have a king, that we have a son, that we have a savior who's been sent into the world, and that we're to be faithful participants in his kingdom and aligning our lives to him. Friends, it's a highly political statement. Blessed be his kingdom now and forever. And it's a statement that calls us to live in light of the mystery and the wonder and the joy and the amazement of belonging to God's Son and of being part of his kingdom. And so, like Samuel, like Nathaniel, get caught up in the wonder and amazement of his story. God calls us in our weakness. God calls us to wonder. And third, God calls us to work. Samuel, in responding to God's call, became a prophet. Nathaniel, in responding to Jesus' call, became a disciple. They took on new callings. They took on new careers. They became new people. They fulfilled new roles in the world. God put them to work. Like Samuel and Nathaniel, when you respond to God's call in your life, he'll give you a new vocation. He'll give you a new career. You may keep the same job. You may keep the same relationships. You may have the same roles, that of a teacher, that of a lawyer, a friend, a father, a mother, a manager, but you'll do your work in a completely different way. You'll become a different type of teacher, a different type of father, mother, friend, manager. You won't find your joy and your life and your identity and your value and your worth in these things, but rather in belonging to Jesus and his kingdom. His call will transform your life. His call will transform everything that you do in this world, all your relationships and all your pursuits. His call will mark and shape and orient your identity. As St. Augustine entered into the city of Carthage, he had to learn this for himself. He went there as a teacher. He went there as a philosopher. He went there as someone full of wisdom, wanting to train students, but he had to be trained himself to learn how to become a different type of teacher, a different type of philosopher. He had to train his ears. He had to train his heart and his mind and his body. He had to ignore the siren calls of others and tune his ears to the voice of his Savior. He never did it perfectly in his life. You can read about all the ways that he messed up in his confessions. But he learned by God's grace how to heed God's call, how to listen to God's voice in the midst of the myriad of other voices ringing in his ears. And friends, the same is true for us. We must do likewise. We must learn how to work, how to listen, how to hear the voice of our Savior in the midst of a modern city like Austin, with a cauldron of unholy loves ringing in our ears, how to hear the voice of our Creator, how to hear the voice of our Redeemer. Friends, this takes work. It takes training. It takes effort. It takes worship. It takes participating in the life of the church and training our hearts and our minds and our bodies to respond to God in faith. So as you reflect on these two passages, this passage from Samuel and this passage from John in your own life, what are some ways that you might respond to God's call in your life? How can you, just like Samuel, how can you, just like Nathaniel, hear God in your weakness, respond to the wonder of God's mystery in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and seek to work for God in the world as you seek to respond to him in faith? What would it look like for you to heed God's call in your relationships, in your pursuits, in your work, in your hobbies, in every area of your life? So let me encourage you this week to pick one or two specific ways to seek to hear the voice of your Savior and to respond in faith and hope and love. Respond just like Samuel, Speak, Lord, over this part of my life, because I'm listening. Respond just like Nathaniel. You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Respond to the wonderful, mysterious, amazing, shocking call of God in your life. God is a God who calls. He still calls. Listen to him today. Be a faithful participant in his incredible story of making Jesus, his son, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, known in his world through people like Samuel, through people like Nathaniel, through people like us. Let's pray. Father, we do give you thanks and praise that you are the God who calls, that you call creation into existence, that you call your people into existence, that you call your church into existence, that we are the called out ones. So Lord, we pray this day that we would hear your voice, your tender, loving, caring voice, and that we would not harden our hearts, but that we would respond to you in faith and hope and love. And we pray that this day you would give us your Holy Spirit so that we might walk in newness of life as we seek to be your faithful disciples until life's end. It's for Christ's sake that we pray. Amen.